Blog Talk Radio. Once I was warm, babe. Now I feel cold.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Ferlin, Garrity, Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. But please check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Jeremy as he brings you the Headliners Ball Thursday, and Friday, Break On Through with Pam. Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. These shows are designed so that you can color outside the lines with rich, raw emotions tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. Now, pull up a chair, relax, and open your minds. I'm Rex, and my co-host, Faisian, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Good evening, Faisy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Rex?
Great. And that song didn't come quite across as clearly as I thought it might, but it's still the very last song that Jim Morrison ever recorded that just came to light and is available this Black Friday. It's called Paris Blues, and boy, does it offer up a foretelling note of what was to come. He recorded it somewhere between the Soft Hit Parade and the release of L.A. Woman. My guess is because of the lyrics that come with some closer to the L.A. Woman album. So if you're not planning on getting it, go ahead and listen to the song on YouTube. It is really a good tune. I like it.
I'll be getting it for my dad. It'll be a gift, but I can listen to it too.
Well, absolutely. It's coming on the album called The Paris Blues, and it's filled with live studio and live recordings from concerts. So it would be a nice addition to anybody's Doors collection.
Indeed. So that was the inspiration for our poems this evening?
Actually, no. I just came across this today. I was going to look. I was looking for any song. I hadn't had a song in mind, but I wanted something to bite into the show a bit. And I found this. And I said, oh, well, this is quite handy since it just came out. I think I think it was just posted 1 or 2 days ago. So kind of convenient.
It is. All right. So tell us about the poems that we're going to hear tonight.
I went with a thought of give us anything on Morrison that you got, whether it's a kind of a tribute piece or something off of one of his poems or songs, or just some generalized writing in the style of Morrison. That was my angle.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear them. I haven't pre-read, so it's all going to be some fun. New words for me. The first poem is by Blues Man, and why don't you give that a read, Rex?
All righty. It's called The Elephant Graveyard by Blues Man. River stone, fire rings, dying embers, yields its warmth to morning frost. Geese honk in the aerial highway. As night sky fades with first light, bird sign and goosebumps tell me it's time for another hobo's journey. Interstate 95's southern ramp beckons my weary old bones to travel. I pushed out, then dawn into a vacuum as 18 wheels rush past my thumb. My weathered leathery skin is buffeted by sandblasted gravel and the trucker's wave. Heart lightens at first sight of Florida's motto, arrive alive. And so I have, for one last time, a sigh of relief, Miami's massive train yard and the mothballed engine and cabooses. My home on wheels, old and gray, lost of purpose with one exception. I step into the oldest caboose in the yard, a dust-covered floor with my old footprints, barely visible from the dust still filling them in. I smile with contentment, dropping my knapsack on an old, familiar bunk bed, giving flight to pixie-dusted bunnies. A sad smile slowly forms, plucking at my heartstrings. This vagabond has reached his elephant graveyard. End poem. That was quite different. What'd you think, Faison?
I liked it. I like the combination of kind of like the nature imagery at the beginning in contrast with like the highway imagery. You're thinking river stones and geese and then, you know, more man-made kind of hits you in the face. And I really love when he gets to the trailer and it's his old footprints just barely visible. I mean, that's a distinct mental image, but it also, you know, makes you contemplate about, like, going back somewhere where it's yours, but it's not quite yours anymore. It's changed over time, and you're going back to your old self, but not really. I also like the way that it's described pixie-dusted bunnies, not just dust bunnies, but pixie-dusted bunnies. It's a cute way of saying it. And then he gives a little explanation for the elephant graveyard, a place where, according to legend, older elephants instinctively direct themselves when they reach a certain age. They would then die there alone, far from the group. So it's like he knew that this was coming, and he went back to his old place that was the place where he was meant to end his life. And in the isolation of that place, he knew it was like his where he would rest. Whether it's necessarily on purpose that he's dying, it's just he's reached his time and he senses it and he goes. So it's a dark piece, but I thought it had a beauty to it.
Excellent. Yes, I like that. There's a lot here that's quite foretelling. I like the opening, the Riverstone firing, dying embers, that invokes that thought to the native sound and dances he imbued himself on stage with. Now, that thought to Florida's motto, arrive alive, that's true. And it's kind of had a nice note of a ring to it because of what he brings in next. Miami's massive train yard. Miami was, Jim got arrested in 69 for lewd misconduct during a concert. And even though the trial wasn't supposed to start until 1970, he never went back. And that kind of hung over his head. And the thought with the train yard itself being also the elephant graveyard, because where do you go, old train yards, it's kind of the old stockades. You push off the old cars to one side because they're no longer useful or they've outlived their use, so to speak. And he hits on that note of, mothballed engines and cabooses and my home on wheels. Also, with the thought of the 18-wheeler, that kind of hits on the idea of traveling between shows with in the 18-wheelers with all their equipment. And there was the dust-covered floor with my old footprints barely visible from the dust still filling in them, kind of invokes that notion of God, it's been a while, but not that long a while since I last stepped into Florida. And the back end of this kind of hits on that notion of walking back into the arena where once you were for your final go at whatever might be. And this vagabond has reached his elephant graveyard. And he did offer up those notes of the traveler and being an almost vagabond, even though he was quite wealthy and quite He did like to travel. That was he was planning on going to Paris for a while to get away from things because he didn't feel appreciated. So his walks on those very same notes of maybe coming back, but not quite getting there. So you end up in that railroad yard. That's where you're most comfortable as the vagabond of the world, so to speak. Nicely done, blues man. I like that. And we come back to you, Faith.
All right. I'm loading up an audio from Lynn Gauthier. Of course, technology likes to shut down the second it's time to press it. One moment. It's like, it's fine. You stop talking and it's like, error. Okay, here we go. So, Lynn Gauthier, here we are.
Hello, I love you. The doors of perception. Maverick, swinging carefree to billboard hits in rock's American counterculture. Face of the 60s, vocalist Jim Morrison, steering to the pulse of free love in the heat of Los Angeles. Riders on the storm. Loving madly an LA woman, parading Gloria absolutely live. Rocking to Roadhouse Blues in front of the Morrison Hotel. Forever longing for the sun. He'd say to touch me and light my fire. People are strange. Fame and money up in flames. It's a shame. Gone in a flash. Booze and partying taken too far. Age 27, life of a rock star. No one here gets out alive. Like so many others, joined the 27 Club. Buried now in northeastern Paris. True to his own spirit, where he belongs, in the poet's corner.
Wonderful read, Lynn. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Well, she hits on a whole lot of notes with this. I like that note of the doors of perception to open up the thoughts of Aldous Huxley and William Blake before him, rolling through the early days and dropping in song titles to keep the piece warm and alive. Loving madly like an L.A. woman, parading Gloria absolutely live. Yes, he did a real dirty version of Gloria, which not a lot of people know. That was a most enjoyable piece, despite it being a little bit on the filthy side. Drops in People Strange, Fame and Money, Up in Flames, It's a Shame, Gone in a Flash. What does that hit hard? 27 Club 2, and yes, Buried in Paris, in the Poet's Corner, a quite apt place for him to end up. Well, it's not quite that, but it does invoke a history of tragedy and thought of those who definitely leave this earth a bit too early. Nicely done, Lynn. Thank you very much. And Daisy, how about you? What'd you think?
I loved that opening line to the doors of perception, playing on the name of his band, but also like such a great line, the doors of perception. I liked steering to the pulse of free love, because he's not steering the pulse, he's steering to the pulse of free love. It's like he's following the free spirit of things, but in a way he's also steering the subculture, the counterculture, with his art. So I found that line interesting. Then pointing out the whole 27 Club thing of so many artists lost young, you know, to the partying lifestyle, that is a reminder of something that I think is still pretty true today. And the Poet's Corner, I didn't know that he was there or about his burial place. I'm not really a history buff on it, but I think that that's really cool if he's honored as a poet, as such a great lyricist.
Oh, absolutely. He's buried in the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, and I'm not quite sure who he's buried with, but he is. I think Balzac might be near his grave. Let's see. Celebrated artists, writers, and musicians, Edith Piaf, Max Ernst, Oscar Wilde. So he's in a pretty good company as far as things go. His graveyard was established in 1804 by Napoleon Bonaparte, of all people. And the 27 Club, you're definitely right. A lot of people don't realize they're actually outside of the norm of Hendrix, Joplin, Morrison, who were always raised as part of that. You got to go back a little further to, I think, 1930-something. Robert Johnson would have been one of the very first to the 27 Club. And was it Amy Winesap, one of the most recent that dropped into the 27 Club, too. So nice call there, Casey. And thank you very much. So where would you like to go next?
Well, Felon has just joined us, I believe. Oh, hi, Felon.
Hello, hello. Sorry if I'm late.
Oh, never mind. Chopin is also there, so, yeah.
Did you get to hear that poem,
also? No, I didn't. I just came on. I sent something to Rex also for the show, which we have time later.
Oh.
The thing on it, or the thread, of course, it could have been just a blonde moment, you know. Hey, Selena.
You had to go there.
It was a blonde moment. I'll admit. So I'm here to help out, do whatever you need.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
Good to have your voice. And I dropped Fel's piece on the board there, Faden.
Oh, did you? Okay. I will have to refresh. One moment. There you are. Okay.
Let's see.
Felon, you're up.
Oh. I thought we were doing that Terry guy or whatever, T. Perry or whatever.
Do him after you.
Okay. I just went and found a piece a minute ago. It was something by Jim Morrison, and it goes like this. People need connection, writers, heroes, stars, leaders, to give life form, a child's sand boat facing the sun, plastic soldiers in the miniature dirt war, forts, garage rocket ships, ceremonies, theater, dances, to recite tribal needs and memories, to call to worship, uniting above all, a reversion, a longing for family, and the safety magic of childhood. And this is called Heroes Ride. 1976 was on my way to the store. My dad, my best friend Tracy Cooper, and me saw her dad. He was hanging off of engine 4, dressed out in his bunker gear and had a death grip on the tailboard. Passion gave me goosebumps. We call it chicken skin in here in the South. Innocent smothered just a year before, discovering a hero was electing myself. Today I'm reminded of how legends are made. Jim Morrison's poem that reads of heroes in a fragile childhood. Reflecting on his words, I'm struck with these words. Nights failed to grant me my night, fear of silence protecting my plight. Victimized to stand and put up a fight, words once spoke to spite, and pain inked me tight. Survival gained when forgiveness gave me back a life. End poem.
Great read, Fel. Thank you very much. And Faisy, what do you think?
I think it's really powerful. I especially like the last stanza. The knights failed to grant me my knight. The use of the two different knights is really cool. I like the line, words once spoke of spite and pain inked me tight. I like that you have the internal rhyme. And it's a powerful message. It inked you tight. It left its mark on you, but at the same time, it now spills out in your writing and becomes something great. So you've mastered it. And I love that earlier when you say discovering a hero was me electing myself, choosing to be a hero and to recognize people who you respected as well, but being that hero on your own. I think this is a really strong piece.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a true story because I did see Tracy Cooper's dad hanging off engine 4, and that's the starting of my fire career was on engine 4. That is, tell me that's not fate. Seriously.
I can believe it because I was going to walk that very same note, the opening small stanza there in 1976 was on the way to the store. My dad, best friend Tracy Cooper, me saw her dad. He was hanging off engine 4. And then the next thing, dressed out in bunker gear and death grip on the tailboard. Then that note to you, passion getting goosebumps, we call chicken skin here in the South. Innocent smothered just the year before, discovering the hero was me electing myself. I like that thought with the goosebumps, we call chicken skin here in the South. I like that. I haven't heard that phrase before, and I thought I'd heard quite just about everything, but not that one.
That's what my granny called it, chicken skin.
Well, it works that way because when you handle a fresh-plucked chicken raw, it does kind of feel goosebumpy. So that works as a nice tone that would have erupted from those who actually did their own plucking and such. So that's pretty cool.
And we
anyway,
get that here.
And the innocent smothered offers up a note to a touch of a little bit of evil that walked inside, so to speak. And then that next one. Today I'm reminded of how legends are made. Jim Morrison's poem that reads the hero in a fragile childhood. Reflecting on his words, I'm struck with these. So I like that transition with that. You came across that poem, and then you birthed this piece. So they both kind of intertwine together. And then your note says, Faisy said, nights fail to grant me my night. Fierce silence protecting my plight. Victimized to stand and put up a fight. Words spoken of spite and pain inked me tight. Survival gained when forgiveness gave me back a life. Now, I like that ending line. It offers up a tone of coming back to life as well as not just being given back life, but coming back to life as coming out of that arena and seeing your net worth and understanding you still got work to do. You still got a voice to throw across the market and the airwaves for people to notice, understand, and hear. And that's quite what most heroes do, offer up that voice, which others don't have themselves.
Absolutely, because we are not alone in anything that we do. No one has to ever suffer in silence or feel like that there's no one like you, because we all have our trials and tribulations in life that they might be different, but still, we don't have to suffer alone. So finding forgiveness in myself, finding forgiveness in those who wronged me, that is that is the best peace you could ever find. And it removes everything else, and you don't have to worry about nothing else in life, and you can finally start breathing and living. And that's, in the past 2 years, that's what I've found, and I'm happy to have found that. Took too long, but I'm happy. I've actually found some peace.
It don't matter when you find it, but when you have found it, it does seep down to your bones, does it not?
Absolutely not. And get this, I don't take any shit. I mean, I didn't take any shit before, but now I take no shit. I don't have to. Because it ain't mine, and I don't care about it. I just live life and try to be happy. And if you do not give me that, I don't engage. I try not to.
Excellent.
And I try to check myself. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to watch my mouth. I don't have to be such a bitch sometimes. So I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. But it's getting there. It's getting there.
All you got to do is try.
As I say, smile and wave, boy. Smile and wave. Oh, my God. So thank you for letting me share this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, Basie, where would you like to go next?
I'm going to read one by T. Perry, 898. It's called The Feast. Slither slowly, tarnished angel, blackened harlot of the night. Satisfy my lustful urges with your bloody appetite. Let me furnish you with kisses, feast upon your scaly skin, and partake of love's sweet poison that you harbor deep within. Bite me, slice me, cut me, thrill me, cries your willing sacrifice. Who shall bless you like a lover who's prepared to pay the price? We shall melt in flowing ecstasy, unbridled virgin lust, and cement our bonds as lovers while we wiggle in the dust. The good fortune up in heaven and misfortunes down below shall rejoice in this great coupling. Armageddon's gonna blow. Banshees, witches, dancing demons pound upon St. Peter's gates, for the Lizard King has now decreed to take himself a mate.
Great read, Paisley. Thank you very much. And I got this from the outset, walking down from that opening stanza, that he was going to go with the Lizard King as the prompt for this. And he does note written for prompts, and I guess it's still the Lizard King on that one. All right, Phil, what do you think?
Wow. I am really taken back by this piece. This is just absolutely stunning work. I think the internal rhyme is just spot on. It just flows so nicely. What really got to me the most is where it says, bite me, slice me, cut me, thrill me. Cries you're willing to sacrifice. Who shall bless you like a lover who's prepared to pay the price? And it goes on. Wow, this is just an absolutely beautiful piece. At the same time, it's very dark, and it's very thought-provoking, and it's also a reminder, you know, we all have our evilness, and we all have our good side to us, and some people just take stock in basically doing rituals of doing the evilness over and over, but then there's other ones that don't. I mean, this is just, wow. I'm still just taken back by it. Excellent piece.
Thank you, Phil. And Basie, you got to read this. What do you think?
I think it had a really nice meter. Like, it just had a natural kind of flow to it that made it easy to read. It has some darkness to it, and some kind of like dark sensuality to it, with the snakes and the dust. I thought it was really well done.
Oh, absolutely. It did have that nice ring of tone that I think Jim would have gotten into. I mean, like a slither slowly, tarnished angel, blackened harlot of the night. Satisfy my lustful urges with your bloody appetite. Let me furnish you with kisses, feast upon your scaly skin, and partake of love's sweet poison that you harbor deep within. It does hold a nice ringing tone, and that second one is kind of the thought of two snakes getting into each other. Bite me, slice me, cut me, thrill me, cries your willing sacrifice. A nice tone there, and it does walk into that note of unbridled communing, one-on-one, where everything is on the table, so to speak. And I finish out, for the Lizard King has now decreed to take himself a mate, offers up at edge of, it is time for me to have something that is my equal by my side. So, excellent, T. Perry. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. All right, Lady Love, where would you like to go next?
Now we have a SoundCloud by Leif van Amsterdam. Or is it Leif van Amsterdam? All right, here we go.
When it's so dangerous, it seems strange to us, pursuing deeper kicks and thrills. I recall all who've gone before, consult eccentrics, can't muffle all yells. No protocol, a lack of control, impossible concentration. We're frequently in a reckless search for the extremes of instant gratification. Institutions disillusion, but cannot break all spirit. Continue the betrayal if you must. Wait, your soul will bear it. The need for justice is thrust upon us, while we're just trying to keep it surreal. Know that hegemony rules this brave new world as artists and rebels rally against the system in appeal.
Great read there, Lee. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And so, what do you think?
I am. Let me get back to, because I almost hung up on y'all by accident. For one, his reading was amazing. He's got a beautiful reading voice. And what really stuck out to me was this: no protocol, lack of control, impossible concentration. We're frequently in a reckless search for the extremes of instant gratification. And you know what? That is spot on, because, you know, some people don't live by the laws of society, or by the laws of doing good, do unto others as you want to do unto you. And they just live for that instant gratification within themselves. They don't care nothing about what it imposes upon another, or how it's only going to be instant, but it's not going to be forever. It's not going to be lasting. And then guess what? They're going to be seeking that gratification over and over and over, and they're going to just keep walking all over other people and all over what would be a good person or their morals and their values. And it says, then he says, but cannot break all spirit. Continue to betrayal if you must. And that's spot on, because, you know, you can't break all spirits. You can't make everyone do what's right. And the betrayal will carry on. So this is just an amazing write, great brevity, and just amazing read as well. Enjoyed it a great deal.
Nice. Thank you, Phil. And Facey, how about you?
I liked Consult Eccentrics. You know, eccentrics are fun to consult, I say, as one myself who enjoys eccentrics. But I think that that recognition of the extremes and how that, you know, leads to deaths like Hendrix's death, and so many of the musicians, it's like there's definitely some extreme thrill seekers there. And I like the reference to Brave New World. I think that's Huxley's novel. It's been a while since I've read it. There's like this mix of like kind of like interest in the lifestyle, but also like a warning. This pays homage to, but also, you know, warns against the life of the rock stars.
Nice, Becky. Thank you very much. I too know that Brave New World thought on the back end of this was quite the note, especially. He wrote this 7 years ago, yet it rings more in truth today than quite a lot of things because of the what Phil had to speak on. We're frequently in reckless search for the extremes of instant gratification, institution, disillusion, but cannot break all spirit. And I think walks into that note of the scream of the butterfly itself is a nice note. Those who are roll tender against the becoming winds, yet they've still been around for billions of years. So that's a nice thought. Wrapped in that one itself. Now, the eccentrics, yes, you should never muffle people's voices. That kind of leads down a path that nobody ever wants to go down to, because all of a sudden you find you be the next voice that gets muffled in its outtake, because once you start that ball rolling, it goes downhill very quickly. And as artists and rebels rally against the system in appeal, that is also, again, those are the voices that most people tend to hear because they usually got a following that offers up notes to, yes, we need to walk this way. And sometimes that also leads to a cultish behavior. So you got to be careful where you step. Thank you, Leaf. All right. Back to you, Faisy.
All right, our next poem is by Damn It Dave, and I believe it's your turn to read, Rex.
Okay. Light My Fire by Damn It Dave. Tie me down with velvet scarves. I want to feel your skill. Ravish me till morning light. Do with me what you will. I'm your puppet. Use my strings to make me dance for you. Give me fever. Make me sweat. Use me through the whole night through. I'm your ragdoll. Play with me, and I'll do anything. You can even use your toys, no matter what you bring. Touch me in the darkest ways. I bow to your desire. I am tinder. You're the match. I beg you light my fire. And poem. Nicely done, Dave. Daisy, why don't we start with you?
This is great. I like that it starts off with the velvet scarves. It has a nice kind of flow to it. I mean, you did a great read, Rex. It's playful. It's hot. I feel like the word Tinder has been kind of ruined by the app Tinder. Like, it's relevant, but I feel like it's, in a way, made it a little bit cliche, but this was written before, I think. I don't even know time anymore. So 6 years ago. So it was before Tinder ruined Tinder for me.
I like that. Thank you, Faison. All right, Phil, how about you?
Well, I'll just let Dammit Dave know I can burn it down. I'll make it an inferno for him. I'm going to light it up, buddy. I'm bringing it all. this is hot. This is steamy. And I think that he went on the edge of come on, baby, light my fire. I think he just really took it to another way, how he's like, I will do whatever you want. I will be anything that you want me to be. Just, light me up. And it's all good. That's my kind of guy. Hey, safe word. There ain't no stopping it. So once you get started, ding, ding. So, yeah. It's like, damn it, Dave. You need to stop. Excellent, excellent. Hot right. I'm very shocked. Nice little, yeah.
Oh, it was. Funny thing is, Dave just updated this a few days back. The first two stanzas were the original piece. The last two stanzas he dropped in. So it kind of adds a little bit more to the puppet angle.
I'm glad he did. Card.
And yes, it also hits on that note, wishful, sinful, wicked you, playing off of another Morris in the song. So yeah, he hit the right notes of this. You enjoyed it immensely.
That I did.
Nicely done, Dave. Thank you very much. All right, Daisy, we're coming up back to you.
Felon, would you please read Hello, My Freaky Darlings by Where Then?
Oh, yeah. I like Hello, My Freaky Darling. That's a good start in itself. Let's see. And here we go. This is Hello, My Freaky Darling by Where Then. Welcome back to midnight, such as it is. Black and mournful, magnificent though, like a raven preening in the sun, like Edgar Allan Poe dressed in cauliflower cabbage, mustache and manic face staring at the camera. A little touch of door in the midnight hour. I know what if I speak. I dredge through the manasium, I think it's what it is. I turn on the plasma TV screen. I channel hip-hop and hold a random card to my head. How come about everything? How come there isn't something next? How come there aren't any answers? How come the aliens are mum? End poem.
Great read, Fallon. Thank you very much. All right, Faison, this is a bit different. What do you think?
I like things that are different. I thought it had some cool word choices, like magnificent mento, miasma. There's just some really interesting vocabulary in here. It talks about the raven in the first stanza and then Edgar Allan Poe in the second stanza. You had me at raven. The I don't really get the reference of dressed in cauliflower cabbage, but it's an interesting mental image. I like it. I like the inner rhyme of, like, cauliflower and dower. There's some subtle rhyming in here that I very much enjoy. And I like that there are questions at the end. When there's a question at the end, it leaves you thinking. So that whole stanza being questions at the very end, there's lots to think about with this poem.
Excellent. Thank you, Peyton. All right, Estelle, you got to read it. How about you?
I like the second stanza. It really spoke to me because what I got from dressing the cauliflower cabbage is basically actual stiff-necked little things they have that they wore back in the day that were very stiff, and they were like little, it was like, it's like a stacked or something, like a ribbon around their neck. And it was very, very stiff, and it looked like a piece of cabbage or cauliflower, like connected together, and so did the puffy sleeves and such. And then the mustache and the manic face staring at the camera. You know, back then they didn't have a camera. The camera was someone painting them, or, you know, a portrait. But I like how he just added his own little thing into this, and it's basically saying, you know, life is weird. It works on the dark side. It challenges us in so many different ways. And it says, I know not of what I speak. And then the that stench. And then he turns on his plasma TV, and then he questions everything. Like, what is next? Is this everything? Why aren't there any answers? And are the aliens our mom? Our mom? Who knows? Maybe they are. I'm not arrogant enough to think that I'm the only life form in this world or this universe. So they need to come pick me up. I've been waiting a long time. I'm ready to go. So this is an excellent write, and then hello, my freaky darling. That's an excellent start and a great title for this poem.
Absolutely. That's what caught my attention, because I was starting to show up. Hello, my freaky darlings. Welcome to the after midnight. So he wrote rolls with that. Hello, my freaky darlings. Welcome back to midnight, such as it is, black and mournful and magnificent, like a raven preening in the sun. The opposing thought of that, the idea of welcome back to midnight, the idea of sinking into that moment of midnight, but still like a raven shining in, preening in the sun, offer up that note of shine off the black and bluish feathers off the raven itself. And then they drop the poem, like Edgar Allan Poe, dressed in cauliflower cabbage. And you're right, the stiff starch collars that run up the neckline, mustache and manic face staring at the camera, a little touch of dour in the midnight hour. I got an image there of Rod Sterling for some odd feeling. It doesn't matter. It kind of, because you saw Rod when he did a Twilight Zone, and there was another show he did after that. He was always dressed in the black suit, tight, stiff, starched collar, again, with the tie around his neck, as you pointed out there, Phil. But this thought of, I know not of what I speak, I dress through my asthma, I turn on the plasma screen, I channel hip-hop and hold a random card in my head, that had me thinking of Johnny Carson when he's doing his mystical act with the turban on his head. So you get that idea of thought where people are supposed to know what's going on, but they don't. It's offering up that idea of what you see on television isn't real, and they never give you any answers to the questions that are posed and offered. Why? Because they're not there to do that. They're there to direct you into a singular thought and narrative that you're supposed to believe without questioning. But here, he's still left questioning because nothing makes sense. Nicely done, Ware. Thank you very much. All right, Daisy, we're back to you.
All right, so our next one is by Robert Pileski, and it is called I Am Jim. Bold legend, the poster boy, poet, prophet, rock idol, more than rock star facade, broke ties with the old prudish traits to deliver people the voice of a generation, nonconformist, free spirit, flung the doors of perception wide open, between things known and unknown, through derangement of the senses, heard the scream of the butterfly, angel in death with wings. With shoulders smooth as raven claws, life hurts a lot more than death, and death is your friend, kills your pain. My only friend, the end. Just remember, turn off the lights after the music plays. The Lizard King will live forever and sing in the darkness.
Avery, thank you very much. And Phil, let's start with you.
Wow, this is an excellent, excellent take on Jim Morrison in itself. I mean, he starts off just knocking it out of the park. Bold legend, the poster boy, poet, prophet, rock idol, more than a rock star facade, broke ties with the old prudish traits. You know, he was a very kindred spirit. He was very free, and he was very much of a tormented soul here on Earth. And that, you know, maybe he did find peace in death, and that he's no longer that, you know, tortured soul. And that I like what he says here: heard the scream of the butterfly and the angel and the death with wings. It's like he was cocooned here on Earth, but yet when he passed over, he was able to flourish. Excellent, excellent write, and great tribute.
Excellent. Thank you, Phil. And Faze, you got the Rita. How about you?
I liked it. I liked the short lines because it just lets you kind of, like, look at the different aspects of him almost in point form. And it's like, this is him. This is a snapshot at how he presented himself to the world. I liked angel in death with wings, with shoulders smooth as a raven's claws. Like, again, you had me at raven. I really like that they emphasized nonconformist. I like poet prophetic, poet prophet. Partly because alliteration, but also like that just seems like it's a good summary of him. This is great. It's a very direct approach to a tribute, and I like that.
Oh, absolutely. I like that too. That came off that and shoulder smooth as raven's claws came off of a Morrison quote. Death makes angels of us all and gives us wings where we had shoulders smooth as raven's claws. I did like that line bold in there too. My only friend, the end, a finish to that one song, great haunting song that he used to play at the Whiskey and Go-Go, and nobody ever knew where he was really going to go when he did it. He always did a little bit different on stage with that song itself. Again, the note to Aldous Huxley, the Doors of Perception. Broke ties with all prudish traits. Kind of hits me up with his stern upbringing. His father, I believe, was an admiral in the Navy. So life would have been hard for him growing up in the late 50s to the early 60s before he went to college. Definitely a nonconformist and a free spirit. The derangement of the senses, that was something Jim always professed as part of himself, and the need to of expression, and to finish out, turn off the lights. Again, a reference to one of Jim's songs, and the Lizard King will live forever and sing in the darkness. A great note to the poem, the Lizard King itself, and that is another poem that's really, really deep in its thought and voice itself. Nicely done, Robert. Thank you very much. All right, Faze, we're coming to you.
Now we're going to do an audio from Stellina.
There's no audio from Stellina.
Oh.
That was my mistake. She wanted me to read this.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, will you read it, please?
Yes, please. Yes, thank you. The Crystal Ship by Stellina. Sail with me into oblivion, where senses are heightened, reaching the zenith of pleasure and pain, fighting within, floats on clouds of psychedelic stupor, lost in mystical musings. Take my hand, follow me through the echoing halls of ancient voices, chanting mantras in our minds of rhythmic rhymes, tantric temptation. The crystal ship awaits our voyage to starlit realms of concupiscence. Let us bid adieu to melancholic moments of mundane mores. Life is strewn with sin that stalks through surreal streets where I indulge in nympholepsy and faceless, flesh-filled nights. We will cast off upon the sea of seduction and magical meanderings, soaring up to touch heaven's gate, where we will learn the truth of our fate. And poem. And Phil, what'd you think?
Can you turn my back to me? I'm adjusting this a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No problem. Faizy, how about you?
I loved it. I can see why she wanted you to be the one to read it. You have a nice flow to it there. I love her vocabulary. Like, the zeniths and the mantras and the concupiscence, which I'm sure I'm saying wrong, the nympholepsy, like great vocabulary. And she even gives us a little glossary at the end, which I really appreciate because I honestly was not sure about nympholepsy. I had an idea of what it would be, but it's nice to have that confirmation. And I love learning new words, so using amazing vocabulary in your poem is great, but also giving that little help to people who may not have the same vocabulary as you is wonderful. I liked the sound of the alliteration with, there's so many great M words, melancholic moments of mundane moors. There was another part that magical meanderings, lots of great M words, and stalks through surreal streets. So basically alliteration all the way through. It had a nice flow, excellent vocabulary. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Faizy. And Phil, we're coming back to you.
Okay, I'm ready. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is it at its peak. But I see the crystal ships as the sail into that psychedelic moment of that heightened of the passion and free love, and that everything's just transparent, and it just glides so smoothly against the water, and yet you can still see through the bow of the ship into the depths of whatever. This is just absolutely magical. I think it's very erotic. At the same time, it's beautifully written, and it really brings back that era of the free love and the psychedelic and the drugs and rock and roll, you know. And it speaks of Jim Morrison. Great job there, Selena. Absolutely amazing.
Excellent. Thanks. Thank you there, Phil. Selena does walk off the original song, Crystal Ship, by the doors before you slip into unconsciousness. I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance of bliss, another kiss. And that last stanza that walks away is, the crystal ship is being filled, 1,000 girls, 1,000 thrills, 1,000,000 ways to spend your time. When we get back, I'll drop a line. I like that note that rolls kind of almost into this. Sail with me into oblivion, where senses are heightened, reaching the zenith of pleasure and pain fighting within the float on clouds of psychedelic stupor. Offers up a nice surreal image, but it also hits on the note of nympholepsy, someone who enjoys the thoughts of young, nubile girls to hitting on that faceless, flesh-filled nights. We will cast off upon the sea of seduction and magical meandering, soaring up to touch heaven's gate, where we will learn the truth about fate. The idea of introducing new young girls into the world of seduction and pleasure, and maybe a touch of pain that goes along with it. Sometimes that's what we're into. And she even throws in, that stalks through surreal streets. I like that angle there, because this does offer up a very surreal note to what's going on, something magical, something filled with whiffs of air buzzing around, smoky air billowing around a couple, something not just intimate, but almost cosmic in the moment. Nicely written there, Selena. Thank you very much for dropping in. And we're coming back to you, Stacey.
All right. So there's one by Rick Six that I would like Felon to read.
Okie dokie. And this is by Rick Six, and this is called Morrison Meets the Fab Two. Jimmy, break on through, baby. Mr. Mojo rising ain't rising no mo. Well, zip it up, flip the crypt, maybe grip an axe and learn to play it. I know. Real poets don't play guitars. Well, Jimmy, there are those who would disagree with your hypothesis, two of whom are there with you right now. Jim, meet John and George, the heavenly half of the Fab Four boys, Mr. Jim Morrison of the Doors. In coin.
Great read there, Phil. Thank you very much. And Faithy, we'll start with you. This is Playful.
All right. I like that it's kind of like speaking to him. Jimmy! There's this like conversational wave of going back and forth that I enjoy. It's fun that way. And like the use of capitalization. So like there's I know, and it just emphasizes certain words. So it's written in a way that kind of lends to reading out loud, and I think Fel did a great job with it.
Thank you.
Thank you there, Faithy. All right, Fel, how about you?
I like this. I mean, to me, it's almost like he's writing himself, you know, writing a letter to, because he signs it at the end, Mr. Jim Morrison of the Doors. You know, he's also reminding himself, you know, everything you say is not going to be precise, because now that he's in heaven with, I guess, John Lennon and George Harrison, or I think it's who that is, if I'm not mistaken, both would do poetry when write with guitars, and they've learned, you know what, you can be a poet and write with guitars. And I like where he says, Mr. Mojo rising ain't rising no mo, because they're all in a crypt. They're all sealed, zipped, they're gone. So I think this is just an excellent little brevity and a little, maybe just a little talk within himself once he got up to heaven. Excellent, right?
Excellent, thank you. Yeah, that Mr. Mojo rising through me there for a moment, so I realized that should actually be an MR instead of a Mr. Because that was Jim's playful angle. The Mr. Mojo rising itself is just an anagram of a Jim Morrison's name. But I like that thought. Ain't rising no more. Kind of a little twist on the notion. And having them almost as an afterthought be arguing the thought of, poets can grab an axe, so to speak, and play guitar and get with the program, baby. You're up here now, so we do things differently. So move on in and learn it. A kind of playful angle. And then that thought, the heavenly half of the Fab Four boys meet Mr. Jim Morrison of the Doors. Welcome. Now we're all together. It's time to play.
Let's jam out.
Yeah, well, you got a hell of a crew up there with those boys, and God, everyone else has gone along the way. You got John Bonham, to mention one, and so many more in between. One hell of a band to sit around and see what they can come up with up there.
I can only imagine.
Nicely done, Rick. Thank you very much. All right, Daisy. Ooh, where we go next?
Our next one is Staring Down the Barrel of a Loaded Gun, and I believe we have an audio for this. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. He slithered around on rising steam, coiled around each distant dream. I watched the serpent ride the sky, lighting flames while I was high. I watched him breathe a burning breath through stormy skies that thundered death. The medicine man is calling my name. From outside hell, he said, he came. Don't blow smoke inside my brain, where all the people dance insane. Take another shot and drop. It's too late, baby, now to stop. Follow me down where the fame seems hollow. Pour me a whiskey, I need to swallow. A gun is always at the ready. My aim is blind, but true and steady. Inside, the doors are all painted blue. Did I hear someone say that Janice knew? Yeah, come on, let the bullets fly. Yeah, come on, wave a last goodbye. Just murdering, more time to kill. Pull the trigger and feel the thrill. The Reaper rides the rising smoke. Take it deep, try not to choke. Everything races in flashing lights, eating away through hungry nights. I'm feeling venom from endless bites that bring me down from dizzy heights. Booze and pills just keep me sane. They swim inside to share my pain. Let's chase the dragon one last time. I got 27 reasons to spare a dime. Are you there? Is there anyone to care? I'm drowning with an empty stare. Come on, pour me another one, baby. I'll pay for it tomorrow, maybe.
Wonderful read there, Arcana. Thank you for the sound clap. It is greatly appreciated. And Faithy, I'm loading you up first for this one.
I also appreciate that there was a SoundCloud. I think that hearing it in the poet's own voice just makes it so much stronger. And also that he had the music with it, so you could really get the full vibe. I like the "don't blow smoke inside my brain where all the people dance insane." There's something about being high, from my understanding, although I'm not one to get high generally, that there's something about dancing that and movement and, like, imagining movement of others that really freaks you out. I'm not into drugs at all, but the one time I got just on edible pot, which is legal here, I forgot that other people can hear music, and I was just like, everyone's dancing at the same, like, in the same rhythm. I'm like, can they read my mind? And I was just like, I thought I was the only one who could hear the music, and they were somehow, like, moving to my mind. It was so weird. I could not handle hard drugs because I go crazy on just, like, tiny bit of pot, like, tiniest bit. But I really like the way that that line kind of just connected to that feeling. And pointing out that the fame seems hollow, it's a thing with rock stars. I think they expect to feel so good when they get to the top of their game, and then there they are, famous, and still not really feeling the way they imagined that they would, and then getting lost in the drugs, trying to feel something. This really captured that kind of empty depression feeling, the highs, and then the I've Got 27 Reasons. I think he was, we read earlier that he was 27 when he died, and that it was quite common for famous musicians to die at that age, so I wonder if that's what that is referring to. This was really well done. I'm so glad he did the audio.
Excellent. Thank you. When Jimmy and Janis first died in 1970, Jim came up with the thought, that thought of three on a match, and that he'd be the third one on that match. All right, Phil, what do you think?
This is amazing. I mean, just when he first started speaking, I was like, he had my attention. Each stanza could just sit on its very own. It would need nothing more. I'm just like, still, this could be a song. This is a well polished piece. I mean, I can also see someone singing this, especially in the era of then. But what really spoke to me the most is where it goes. It says, follow me down where fame seems hollow. Pour me a whiskey I need to swallow. A gun is always at ready. My aim is blind, but true and steady. It means he's shooting for the stars, but he's killing himself. That life is just so hollow, you know, and even though he tries to gain strength through that intoxication of, or that, like I say, liquid courage, this is just wow. And then the last stanza, are you there? Is there anyone to care? I'm drowning in an empty stare. You know, chasing the dragon is the heroine, and, you know, I could see him sitting there in the bathtub where they found him, cardiac arrest. Well, of course, he overdosed. I don't think they do autopsies in France, so that's why they didn't have to really find the real true reason. But we all know what it was. It says, I'm drowning with an empty stare. Come on, pour me another one, baby. I'll pay for it tomorrow, maybe. He knows he's not coming out of that tub. This is just absolutely amazing. Great piece and great tribute.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Over the last couple of weeks, I'd come across a couple of contests looking for Morrison-style rights. And this was in one of those contests, and he won gold for it. And I didn't read it at the time because I wanted to let it sink in. And then I ran my contest because there was such a lot going around. I thought, why not? Let's do an After Midnight with Morrison-style writing, and then Arcana drop it in here. So I didn't read it then either. So this is the first time I got to hear it. And that's really cool because Arcana won gold in that contest that I was talking about. I came in next with silver, so, and his production on this, he does got some great production notes with his pieces. And having the background music of The End playing as part of the motif was wonderful. and then that thought staring down the barrel of a loaded gun. That gives the not only the title, but the thought of the poster itself, giving you that idea of that is life, staring down the barrel of a loaded gun, because you've always got someone or something pushing and pulling you into one edge of conformity or another, or to get you to bend into the motif of what they want instead of letting loose the freedom of the soul and spirit, which is pretty much what Morrison wanted to do, let loose all that was roiling within him. And I like that opening note. He slithered around on rising steam, coiled around each distant dream. I watched the serpent ride the sky, lighting flames while I was high. A nice, really nice opening note. And then he hits on the don't blow smoke inside my brain. Nice touch. Where all the people dance insane. You got note in one of the songs where everyone's insane. So I enjoyed that. Pour me a whiskey, I need to swallow. That had me thinking of more of a lyric from Jim. And I like that opposing thought in that last line. My aim is blind, but true and steady. That kind of hits on a note of understanding and knowing where it needs to go through your mind's eye rather than that sight itself, which kind of also walks in that note of Aldous Huxley's The Doors of Deception. And let's see what else we got. And inside, the doors are all painted blue. That's kind of a note to how he came across and felt sometimes, because he did feel that hollow was fame. He was being used to, instead of being able to express himself for what he wanted, they wanted him to be mainstreamish in his thought, idea, and voice, instead of what he was, that was burning inside, which was the poetry. That's why all those pieces that they recorded, the spoken word they recorded in the studios while they were playing, getting songs down, Robbie Krieger and the gang put that together in American Prayer and added music to it to give those poetry lyrics a little bit of voice and some background as to where Jim was at that time. Everything races and flashing lights, eating away through hungry nights. I'm feeling venom from endless fights that bring me down from dizzy heights. Again, that thought there of being used and abused for who and what he was, instead of being taken to the literality of what he was offering. And I do love that line. I've got 27 reasons to spare a dime. Ooh. And I'll pay for it tomorrow, maybe. Finishing notes. Great piece there, Arcana. And now I know why you got the cold. This is perfect. Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, Stacey. Then coming back to you.
All right. So this is One Jimmy Boy by Michael McDermott. There was this strange Irish poet who at times drank wine in our bar. He talked about a crazy boyhood, an incident in his family's car. When he met desert warrior ghosts, later read books that opened doors, felt he wanted to start a mood band, sing songs to touch thoughtful depths like no one had experienced before. I've since heard that he went dry, married some businessman's lush wife, is now sorta settled out in the valley where no longer singing or dreaming, he lives a simpler, secluded life. End poem.
Great read there, Faisy. Thank you very much. And Fel, why don't we start with you?
Felon had to go.
Oh, okay. All right, then I guess I'm going to start this. There was a thought that back in the day that Jim's supposed passing was just a poet's idea of death, a way to get out and under from all that was wasted upon him by just disappearing into that good night. So I like that sort of voice often in the bottom end of this. Married some businessman's lush wife, is now sort of settled out in the valley where no longer sing or dreaming. He lives a simpler, secluded life. It also brings a note that movie, now I can't think of the name of the movie, where it starred Michael Paré about a rock singer who was refused to to play the music he wanted to play. So he dipped out. He wrecked his car off a bridge and just disappeared quietly into that good night. Until 20 years later, he found another band, a bit on the younger side, to play his music again. And, Eddie and the Cruisers, that was the movie. Great thought with that one, too. And he hits on quite a bit in this with the thought of Desert Warrior Ghosts, books that open doors, start a mood band, sing songs to touch thoughtful depths like no one had experienced before. I like that as the motif for offering a more poetical angle into music at that time, which was kind of straightforward, but they were pushing the boundaries. Jim did, as other bands did it back in the day as well. So thank you very much, Michael. And Daisy, how about you?
I really like it. It's like the concept of like what could have been. And looking at it, it was in another contest, what if he had not been Jim Morrison? So like the idea of if he hadn't gotten famous, what would have happened? And, you know, maybe he would have lived a longer life. Maybe he would have softly written his songs and not had the wild lifestyle. But even then, he still has the tragedy in his family's car when he met Desert Warrior Ghosts. So he's still haunted, but living that secluded life and writing his poetry and songs. It's an interesting concept, and it makes you wonder what he would have written during that time.
Excellent. Thank you, Paige. All right. So where would you like to drift into next?
All right. This one is a bit complex by the looks of it, so I skipped it myself because I think you would be best to read it. And it is Mad Lab's poem, A Bullet Sought in Cobweb.
Excellent. All right. A Bullet Caught in Cobweb by Mad Lab. Why is it so cold inside your womb, Mama? 33 million beard roots itch on the baby face of a ripe peach, yet unplucked. Its neighboring twig swoops in, longing for a touch, but only their shadows meet. Is it time that floats? Nah, that's space. How do you know that? How one knows anything through language. Then where is time? On the surface of movement, it is that which floats. And my non-swimmer course strokes the spinal spine of beach-bound waves, imitating the gesture of flotation. The fabric of fate is the liquid linen, curtaining death's piggyback witches. Is she the paper dream, dissolving at the tip of your tongue? Survival establishes patterns, and whatever's promised without pain shall bloody the cycle in menstruation. And Paul?
Okay, I was intimidated by the Arabic, but you did well. I actually don't know that it's Arabic. It looks Arabic to me, but I was like, I don't know what to say for that.
You're probably right. I don't know offhand, but my assumption is yes. And it doesn't have a translate, but so I couldn't do actually free those up to offer in the what the words say. Well, what do you think anyway?
I thought it was really interesting. The way it's broken down into different sections, the spacing is a little bit odd, but it makes it work in its own way. So for those of you who are just listening and not reading along, there are big spaces between different sections of it, and some things are left aligned, some things are kind of right aligned, and there are sections in another language in between some things. I like, but only their shadows meet. that's a cool concept. And then the questions too. There, it's conversational with the questions and responses. I like the question, then where is time? On the surface of movement, it is that which floats. Because they're wondering, is it time that floats? No, it's space. And yet, they talk about time floating because it's in the space there. So it's kind of mind-boggling. And non-swimmer corpse is also a really interesting expression. Fascinating poem. It's kind of trippy, which I think, you know, works with Jim Morrison's kind of surreal, drug-induced writing sometimes.
Oh, awesome. All right. I got to start it up. Why is it so cold inside your womb, Mama? It's kind of an open thought to death in those first 2.5 lines. And then 33 million beard roots itch on the baby face of a ripe peach yet unplucked. Kind of has me thinking of virginity. Its neighboring twig swoops in longing for a touch, but only their shadows meet. Again, that note to the sensual nature of male and female meeting, yet not actually engaging. And then that thought, is it time that flows? Nah, that's space. How do you know that? How one knows anything through language? And where is time? On the surface of movement, it is that which flows. A kind of a nice note to almost mysticism, if you take it at that and actually think on it, it actually works well. And my non-swimmer corpse strokes the spiral spine of beachbound waves, imitating the gesture of flotation. Again, I got that thought, swimmer corpse, dead sperm cells. And the fabric of fate is the liquid linen curtaining death's piggyback wishes. I like that. But there was also one, and whatever's promised without pain shall bloody the cycle of inspiration. Again, there's almost that noted thought to that which passes a touch of death, because with menstruation there is the note to the egg passing out, so one that's not fertilized. So this walks on that tone of life and death. That the bullet caught in cobweb kind of hits me with the note of, is there a notion to, making sure the impregnation doesn't occur, or is it a lost thought kind of on the thigh of humanity, so to speak? I like this. Different. And thank you, Mad Lad. All right, Faison. We're coming back to you.
Okay, our next poem is by Beatnik. And it's called Morrison's Epitaph. Smooth, jazzy riffs permeate the air as Robbie turns Jim's lyrics into music special and rare. Ray's keyboard skills are a masterful display. John's deaf drumming complements everything they play. The Doors were a band still even after Jim's death. An American Prayer was his tribute to the three that he left. They put words to music in a stunning epitaph. The rock god's poetry was the legacy he left. Jim lived on the edge and over sometimes. He wrote verses in streams of consciousness and rhyme. His lyrics were from a place more divine. A genius, he had an IQ of 149. When the Doors' Elektra contract expired, Jim went to Paris with Pam at his side. I believe Jim went there knowing he'd die. His gravesite now a pilgrimage to fans and poets alike. End poem.
Great reading there, Faith, and thank you very much. I like this. I like that opening note. Smooth, jazzy riffs permeate the air as Robbie turns Jim's lyrics into music special and rare. Nice opening note to not just the voice, but the background music they imbued, that kind of permeates, that soulful, mournful tone of Jim. They just played it well with the music they put behind them. And then that second stanza, walking into the notion of, like I said earlier, about spoken word pieces that he did while they were in studio, and that the gang put together as a gift of the American Prayer album in 1985. And then I thought Jim lived on the edge and over sometimes. Truth, I hit him with that the book "No One Here Gets Out Alive." I read that book years and years ago. I remember a story. He was drunk and walking on a balcony frame, two stories up. I think it was a hotel at the time, and he actually fell off, landed on the roof of the car, got up, went back inside to party some more. So he kind of passed out on the way down, since his body was so limp. Nothing happened to him, so got up, went back inside, had a bit more fun. And then the reference to the Elektra record label that they were part of, and a fitting note at the bottom end, "His grace I now have pilgrimage to dance and poet to life." Yes, it's quite, it's always filled with flowers and plenty of graffiti spoiled around to tribute and honor of Jim. So, excellent piece there, Beatnik, and thank you very much. Daisy, you got to read it. What about you?
I really liked the "on the edge and over sometimes" when I thought it was just metaphor, but it's interesting to hear that it was literal as well. I was just thinking that it's like he's on the edge because of like his just kind of counterculture attitude, you know, having lyrics that people had mixed feelings about, and like, you know, that maybe that his record companies weren't that into, but he was like always trying to push the envelope kind of thing, but also on the edge as in like, you know, with his drug use and the partying and all of that. But then he literally falling off ledges adds to that as well. I like that it referenced that he was smart, and that his bandmates, you know, loved him and had a tribute to him and helped promote his poetry that was his legacy. So I think this is a nice tribute to him.
Absolutely. So where would you like to go next?
Now, let's look at "Denied" by Pee Wee Cushion. Oh. I always want to add an H to that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Stelina just popped in and says, "Was full of flowers when I went there." Yes, so she's been to see Jim.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
All right, Stelina, really thank you very much. All right, this one's called "Denied" by P.B. Cousin. God's eyes searing its darkened skies. All through the forest, you can hear the cries. Watchtower broken, watchmaker bent, shackled on the inside, visions heaven sent. Lonesome tide of tomorrows, lost and alone, you have no pride. Wishing you awful sorrows, as my dreams have been denied. Clock tower smoking, clockmaker dead, dreaming of the outside, visions mine so then. Mirroring reflections, mirrored you within, down on the upside, in your only sin. And boom. I like that. Thank you, Pee Wee. All right, Faisy, what do you think about this?
I like the stanza, clock tower smoking, clockmaker dead, dreaming of the outside, visions mind so bent. That's a really interesting concept. I mean, maybe it's referencing a specific song that I don't know, but I just like the concept of that, and it's worded really cool. This has a nice vibe to it. It's the denied sense of things, of being rejected, that it's not just rejected, like, say, by a lover, but it's God's eyes searing in darkened skies. It's like feeling rejected by God, by the public, by everything and everyone. So the clockmaker dead makes me think about, like, the end of time, possibly God is dead kind of thing. The clock tower smoking, time is no longer an issue. I have to think about this more, but I find it interesting.
Oh, I like what you got there, what you're dribbling into there, Faithy, because I kind of want the same thing, that opening stanza does kind of offer the notation of too many eyes appearing in and offering up their own thoughts, so to speak. But I like watchtower broken, watchmaker bent. That does imply the watchtower and the watchmaker being Morrison himself, broken, maybe walking that edge of trying to express, but not really getting there at the bent angle. Shackle on the inside, visions haven't set. The shackle being promulgated with the thought, you got to do it this way, you got to do it this way. Not being able to actually do it his way, so to speak. Lonesome tide of tomorrow's lost and alone, you have no pride. Kind of hit me with the thought of how they sold one of his songs to a car company as a motif to selling the car. He was pissed. He didn't want his pieces going commercialized, the offer of things. He felt that that kind of bends the angle of who and what he was and his expressive thoughts. Now, the clock tower smoking, the clockmaker dead. You hit on that. I think that goes right back to the watchtower and watchmaker. You say watchmaker, that's the idea of making something that intricate, that works. Now, the clock tower offers up that note of the demise, which you hit on. The clockmaker dead, walking again to Morrison, dreaming of the outside vision, mind so bent, tired of the intrusiveness of people trying to tell him what to do. And the mirroring reflections mirrored you within, kind of everything seeping in, so to speak, down on the upside in your own sin. The only sin, of course, being who and what he was and what he wanted. And the title, The Night, kind of hits on that very same tonal note. So nicely done, Pee-wee. Thank you very much. All right, Faithy, what would you like to get into next?
This is Wild Child by Rose Winter 515. In tribute to the Doors and their fourth album, Soft Parade. Wild Child. Wild Child, rock and roll, roller coaster singing. Tell all the people I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, forgive me my sins. Touch me, please forgive. The soft parade of easy riding, easy coasting, easy ride street of my prayers. Do it for me, please. I pray forgiveness. I've got shuffling shaman's blues, just his old suede shoes, just wishful, sinful, but not bad, just wishing bad. Running blue in his old suede shoes, in his old suede. Down the avenues and streets of time, those blue suede shoes are mine. And poem, and it says, thank you.
Oh,
it says in the AN that it used all nine titles of the album's songs within the poem.
Yeah, that was part of the contest. Chris wanted all the songs reflected one per line for exactly nine lines, and he didn't care how you did it, but that was how you had to walk the theme to the tone of the Doors and Morrison. So she did nice. I like the thought she rolled with this. The Wild Child, rock and roll, roller coaster scene. That was a great opening thought. And then I tell all the people, I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, forgive me my sins. Touch me, please forgive. Walking a different tone and offering up that almost that peaceful note to heading up to the gates of St. Peter's. Please forgive me the sins on earth. They are mine, and let me come on in, so to speak. I like you also. I've got the Shuffling Shaman's Blues, just his old suede shoes. I guess, again, those blue suede shoes, a note there to Elvis back in the day, but those are his. They're not Elvis's. So I'm walking a different path. I did walk a different path, but please accept me into this as your wild child. I like this, Rose. Thank you. And Daisy, you got to read. How about you?
I like it too. I think that it's a cool challenge to have to use the song titles, and she did it really well. Like it's challenging to make it all make sense using the titles, and she did. Like it was smooth. I didn't realize that was what was happening until I read the AN. So that means it wasn't just plugged in there. It actually worked within the sentences. Mission accomplished.
Excellent. Thank you. And where would you like to go next?
Now we have one by Eric Svensson, and he gave us an audio.
You're going to like this.
Barba Turex Morrisoni. Leathered ingenuity holstered, shot straight from the hip. Poetic melodies, shattered clay pigeons. Sultry sound missiles imploded state society. Cauliflower, conventionality, question. Shy, sensitive poet boy became a bard, extraordinaire. Minstrel gypsy rover excavated Earth's barren lunar landscape. Heart energy was still a misdemeanor in his day. Step up, step out. Be a man and serve Uncle Sam. Trade maracas and tambourine for dog tags and dry biscuits. Pan adept Grecian curls haloed Adonis. Time and stimulants would ravage alter leathery husk. Inner poetic acumen fathered Damon lyrics. Hungry honeybirds beat sweetness in Jim's Arcadia. Cartwheel cadence of exploration beyond accepted norm. Iguanas whispered wisdom in sheltering desert sands. Poet soul found solace in wilderness, away from maddening crowds, faced inner demons where coyotes cajole, new tunes birthed beneath star-spangled night skies. Iguana Council voted, prehistoric tribal council instated their lizard king. Doors of perception finally flung wide open, what iguanas knew for millennia now comes to pass. Cold-blooded compassion, composure protects. Pan-adept poets no longer lizard lounge. Leathery outer husks no longer hide in the beauty. Heart-based energies, twister, tornado, hurricane resistance, enthroned Lizard King Jim and the Iguana Council smile. Telepathic rewrite of old lyrics shared by my pet garden gecko. This isn't the end, but the beginning. Welcome the golden age of Aquarius. Embrace the court martial of all lies and ties that bind. temper.
Oh, excuse me. A great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And, all right, Casey, I'd like to think, hear what you have to say on this one. It's different and quite well
done.
Again,
there's mention of cauliflower, like there had been in the previous one. interesting. Shy, sensitive poet boy became bard extraordinaire. I think that's a cool thing. But it also, if you start off shy and sensitive, becoming so famous would be very intimidating. So it kind of like gives a hint of the path that he ends up going on. I like that he's described in almost a mythological way, Pan Adept and Haloed Adonis, you know, because of the album art and stuff, he really does look that way. My favorite line is, cartwheel cadence of exploration beyond accepted norm. So I love that it points out that he went like kind of like he pushed the boundaries with his music and his writing, the exploration of different subjects. But cartwheel cadence is so cool, partly because of the alliteration, but also just the idea of like his cadence was all over the place. It was flying in different ways than people were used to. That line really stuck with me. That's a wonderful line.
But I got to start with the title, The Barbiturics Morrisoni, because it is actually real. That is a title given to a new iguana species extinct found in Myanmar back in 2013. It's the giant relative of today's iguana, and they aptly named it Barbiturix morrisoni in honor of Jim. And he hits on that note in here with a couple of lines. What was I can't find them. Of course I can't. Iguanas whispered wisdom sheltering desert sands. I like that note. Poet soul found solace and wilderness away from madding crowds. Again, that jump to Paris, getting away from the madding crowd, so to speak. New tunes birthed beneath star-spangled night skies. Iguana council voted, prehistoric tribal council instated their lizard king, the Barbiturix Morrisoni. I like this. A very clever piece walked around that thought of Jim being highlighted as something special within the archaeological record, especially the lizard being a giant iguana, kind of hitting on that note of how even 50 years after his death, Jim still holds a very large note and power to the music he put out then, which still resonates today. So excellent piece there, Eric. Thank you very much for the second time seeing this. I like it again. Thank you very much. All right, Daisy, we're back up to you.
Now we have Jim's a Joke by, or sorry, Jim's Joke, not Jim's a Joke. Jim's Joke by Gronwyn. Would you read that, please?
Sure. Jim's Joke by Gronwyn. Come and talk with me in my Paris cemetery. I'll guide you to my stone so you can kiss my joke. No one gets out if you're alive. But you'll never see my ghost. Oscar's ghost tells mine, at least we're looking at the stars. Hopefully the fire I lit is burning in your dreams. You can find me in the whiskey bars of Alabama or singing into the storm, riding to eternity laughing at the joke of kisses on the stones, entering the doors of my reality, hidden in my songs. End poem. Nice play there, Gronwy. I like that one. And Daisy, how about you? What do you think?
I like it. I think I really like, hopefully the fire I lit is burning in your dreams. You can find me in the whiskey bars of Alabama. because the music will still be playing there, or singing in through the storm, that the music is still there, and the kisses on the stones is kind of funny. Oscar, are they talking about Oscar Wilde?
Yes, he's buried there too.
Okay, cool. That was what I was hoping it was referring to, but I wasn't totally sure about where he was buried. So I love that he involved Oscar's ghost. That's really cool.
Excellent. Thank you, Faith. And you're right. That was a nice little bit of humor as well, role that no one here gets out alive. That was a line Jim offered up, and also the title of the book that they wrote about Jim. And Oscar's ghost tells mine, hey, at least we're looking at the stars. Also a nice little playful tone of humor right there. And I like that thought, rolling after that. Hopefully the fire I lit is burning in your dreams. You can find me in the whiskey bars of Alabama or singing into the storm, riding to eternity laughing at the joke of kisses on the stones, entering the doors of my reality, hidden in my songs. That's a nice thought of to finish off with, entering the doors of my reality, his point of view, his thought, and you really do have to kind of walk within his mind, looking at Stoner's lyrics, and see where he was going, where he delved into, and what was on his mind, or what came out perchance in the moment. And I like that thought, singing into the storm, riders on the storm there, and the idea of life is but a joke itself, the pain and humiliation and hardship that comes with life kind of hits the note of, I'm laughing at that because I've already passed, because life is a joke, and the true paradise is what you get when you're free from this coil of mortality, so to speak. Nicely done, Garanwi. Thank you very much. All right, Maisie, we're back to you.
All right, so I'm going to go on to Blue Leader One's poem, and that is, We Are the Youth of Ukraine. Let the fire be started. Let the revel begin. Let the veil be lifted. Let the morning star sing. Youth is forever because it lives in our dreams. Tonight we find the meaning in our lives. Tonight is what it is meant to be young. It's all we really got tonight. Holy choirs will sing next to angels. Angels will dance with us in castles and in stars, in lightning and in thunder. Our joy will fill the valleys. Misty skies will fly our banners high. We live. We are alive. Now. Now is all that counts. Feel my heart beating and know. Feel the heat of my body and know. Baby, the fire lives and it grows. Be with me and know what it is to live. Feel me. Feel my being. Put your arms around me. Let's rumble and tumble until the beating of our hearts is the only sound in the universe. They run. Then run. Let's run and run as fast as we can, faster than our fates, past the edge and into the unknown, holding on to one another into the bright night before the firefight. Tonight, tonight, cover the darkness in lights, and tomorrow we'll lay underneath the rays of the holy sun and be holy, our own. End poem.
Great read there, Daisy. Thank you very much. I was a little bit leery about this one, but it does walk in that note of youthful vigor that Jim extolled, but it does walk in a very different light considering what it's penned to and for. But I like, let the fire be started. Let the revel begin. Let the veil be lifted. Let the morning star sing. Great opening tone there. And that thought, youth is forever. Because we always remember, that song by, Only the Good Die Young. It's kind of that note in that. And we do forever remember those because they died so young. We think, what a waste. But then again, you get some notes of it. Next to angels, angels will dance with us in castles and in stars, in lightning and in thunder. Our joy will fill the valleys. Misty skies will fly our banners high. We live. We are alive. Now. now is all that counts. It does have a nice ringing tone to what Morrison represented. And then the sort of put your arms around me, let's rumble and tumble until the beating of our hearts is the only sound in the universe. Again, that. And then run, let's run and run. Jim had one of the songs, Run, 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 was part of the lyrics that he wrote with. And so that had me thinking of that. And tonight, cover the darkness in lights. And tomorrow we'll lay in the rays of the holy sun and be holy our own. That kind of hits me up the throat with tonight we truly live, or tomorrow we may be neath the next night's twinkling lights as death comes and takes its own, so to speak. So I like that thought there, Lou. Thank you very much. And Stacey, you got to read it. How about you?
This felt like something that could be, like, you know, said on the loudspeaker. What do you call it? A bullhorn. Kind of like getting people enthused and telling them to live in the moment while they can. Yes, yes. I think it could work as that. I liked the part, until the beating of our hearts is the only sound in the universe. That part kind of felt connected to some of the songs that I was thinking of. So I like the way that connected everything. We are out of time, so you're going to have some carryovers, Rex.
Yes, we'll do those for the next world. I'll put those up and let everybody know for the second evolution of this, because, yeah, we did have 20-odd rights in, and we did get through quite a bit, but we do have a few that still need to be read. So we will be doing this again, and I'll let everyone know those who get the second round as soon as I put up the board. And had a great night, Daisy. I hope you enjoyed all the Jim Morrison poems. And you've got to hit YouTube and send that song of Paris Blues to your dad so he can get to hear it. And then see if you can pick up a copy.
Yes, I will.
Christmas present.
You gave me an idea. It's good.
Yeah, this too also had me. There was a thought, what you said about the rallying cry. I thought of Tomb of the Unknown Soldier that Morrison The Unknown Soldier that Morrison did, that had a little bit of that rang in this, too.
Yes. Good call.
All right. I thank you for joining us tonight for Jim Morrison and running the boards and the phones. So that was much appreciated. Felon, thank you for dropping in to read it for a bit and then help us out. And Stelina, thank you very much for your contributions on the board. It is much appreciated. And though we couldn't drink the coffee that you offered, the thought was most grand. And we'll do this again very soon. I'll come to this next Tuesday when we do After Midnight once more. And great evening. Thank you, Faith. And good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.